satama yamutra chalakshyante yochnavatya kvachit bhuva astiyagya pati nama chidana satama yamutra chalakshyante Vaishnavas. Asti agya patir nama Keshanchidar hasatama Ihamudra chalakshyante Yotsyavatya kvachit bhuva Asti agya patir nama Kishanchidara sattama Ihamutra chalakshyante Yotsnyavatya kvachit bhuva Asti There must be Yagya pati The enjoyer of all sacrifices Nama of the name Keshanchit in the opinion of some Arhasattama almost respectable Iha in this material world Amutra after death Cha also Lakshyante It is visible. Jyotsna Vataya, powerful, beautiful. Kvachit, somewhere. Bhuva, bodies. Translation prepared by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. My dear respectable ladies and gentlemen, According to the authoritative statements of Shastra, there must be a supreme authority who is able to award the respective benefits of our present activities. Otherwise, why should there be persons who are unusually beautiful and powerful, both in this life and in the life after death? Prithu Maharaj, sole aim in ruling his kingdom was to raise the citizens to the standard of God consciousness. Since there was a great assembly in the arena of sacrifice, there were different types of men present. But he was especially interested in speaking to those who were not atheists. It has already been explained in the previous verses that Prithu Maharaj advises citizens to become Adhokchajad Dhiya, which means God-conscious or Krishna-conscious. In this verse, he specifically presents the authority of Shastra, even though his father was a number one atheist who did not abide by the injunctions mentioned in the Vedic Shastras, who practically stopped all sacrifices performances, so sacrificial performances, and who so disgusted the Brahmanas that they not only dethroned him, but cursed and killed him. Atheistic men do not believe in the existence of God, and thus they understand everything which is happening in our daily affairs to be due to physical arrangement and chance. Atheists believe in the atheistic Sankhya philosophy of the combination of Prakriti and Purusha. They believe only in matter and hold that matter under certain conditions of amalgamation gives rise to the living force, which then appears as Purusha, the enjoyer. Then, by a combination of matter and the living force, the many varieties of material manifestation come into existence. Nor do atheists believe in the injunctions of the Vedas. According to them, all the Vedic injunctions are simply theories that have no practical application in life. Taking all this into consideration, Prithu Maharaj suggested that theistic man will solidly reject the views of the atheist on the ground that there cannot be many varieties of existence without the plan of the Supreme Intelligence. Atheists very vaguely explain that these varieties of existence occur simply by chance, but the theists who believe in the injunctions of the Vedas must reach all their conclusion under the direction of the Vedas. In the Vishnu Purana, it is said that the entire Varnashrama institution is meant to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The rules and regulations set up for execution of duties of Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, or Brahmacharis, Grihasthas, Vanaprasthas, and Sannyasis are all meant to satisfy the Supreme Lord. At the present moment, although the so-called Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras have lost their original culture, they claim to be Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras by birthright. Yet they have rejected their proposition that such social and spiritual orders are especially meant for worship of Lord Vishnu. The dangerous Mayavada theory set forth by Shankaracharya, that God is impersonal, does not tally with the injunction of the Vedas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore described the Mayavadi philosophers as the greatest offenders against the personality of Godhead. According to the Vedic system, one who does not abide by the orders of the Vedas is called Nastik or atheist. When Lord Buddha preached his theory of non-violence, he was obliged to deny the authority of the Vedas, and for this reason he was considered by the followers of the Vedas to be Nastik. But also, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very clearly enunciated that the followers of Lord Buddha's philosophy are Nastics or atheists. Because of their denial of the authority of the Vedas, he considered the Shankarites, who wanted to establish Vedic authorities by trickery and who actually followed the Mayavada philosophy of Buddha's school, to be more dangerous than Buddhists themselves. The Shankarite philosophers' theory that we have to imagine a shape of God is more dangerous than the denial of existence of God. Notwithstanding all the philosophical theorizing by atheists or Mayavadis, their followers of Krishna consciousness rigidly live according to the injunction given in Bhagavad Gita, which is accepted as the essence of all the Vedic scripture. In Bhagavad Gita 18:46 it is said, Yatha pravidyar bhutanam yena sarvam idam tatam svakarmanatam apyarchya siddhim vindati manava. By worship of the Lord, who is the source of all beings and who is all-pervading, man can, in performance of his own duty, attain perfection. This indicates the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the original source of everything, as described in the Vedanta Sutra, Janmadhyasya Yata. The Lord Himself also confirms in Bhagavad Gita, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo, I am the origin of everything. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the original source of all emanations. At the same time, as Paramatma, He is spread all over existence. The absolute truth is therefore the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and every living being is meant to satisfy the Supreme Godhead by performing his respective duty. Svakarmanatam apyarchya. Maharaj Prithu wanted to introduce this formula amongst his citizens. The most important point in human civilization is that while one engages in different occupational duties, he must try to satisfy the Supreme Lord by execution of such duties. That is the highest perfection of life. Svanash sutastya dharmasya samsiddhir haritoshanam. By discharging one's prescribed duty, one can become very successful in life if he simply satisfies the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The vivid example is Arjuna. He was a kshatriya, his duty was to fight. And by executing his prescribed duty, he satisfied the Supreme Lord, and therefore became perfect. Everyone should follow this principle. The atheists who do not are condemned by Bhagavad Gita 16:19 by the following statement: Tan adham Dvishata Kruran Sa Samasha Reshu Naradama Naradhama. In this verse, it is clearly said that persons who are envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are the lowest of mankind and are very mischievous. Under the regulative principles of the Supreme, such mischievous persons are thrown into the darkest region of material existence and are born of asuras, atheists. Birth after birth, such asuras go still further down, finally to animal forms like those of tigers or similar ferocious beasts. Thus, for millions of years, they have to remain in darkness without knowledge of Krishna. So it was the half of purport, and tomorrow the other half will be delivered. So, Om Magyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabhanu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Shrada Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpata Rupyasya Kripa Sinu Vyayevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I humbly request the blessings of lotus feet of the assembled Vaishnavas that I can say something which makes sense. Read the verse again. My dear respectable ladies and gentlemen, according to the authoritative statements of Shastra, there must be a supreme authority who is able to award the respective benefit of our present activities. Otherwise, why there be persons who are unusually beautiful and powerful, both in this life and in the life after death? So, Prithu Maharaj brings the argument that if we live taking everything coming by chance, that there's certain consistency in this life, certain things which are strangely repeating itself, even though they have to be by chance. There are some people who are, you know, he brings the example of people who are unusually beautiful and powerful, and we can think of many more examples. Yeah? The changing of seasons, the rising of the sun, the unusual symmetry of our body and face, and so many things which, even if mathematically calculated by the theory of chance or probability, would render impossible to have everybody, you know, to have two eyes just above their nose, have two nostrils, you know, so many things which have to put in this to make it come out as some kind of good or decent looking human being, that it's just impossible by any calculation. Still, people, because of envy, which is actually the original cause of our residence in the material world, people becoming so blind that they just discard obvious facts. They just don't want to face it. Because to accept that there is a higher authority means you are always subordinate. Your desires cannot be independent, and you have to always abide by some rules, which especially nowadays and age is very unpopular. The more Kali Yuga progresses, the more even children becoming independent of their parents. Of course, why? Because parents in their turn were a little more independent, or let's say a little less independent of their parents, but it's kind of increasing. The whole scene, the notion of authority is very much troublesome to accept. One point of this is that also authority, because of Kali Yuga, have been very often misused. So the people who are in authority position misuse their power, misuse their influence, and therefore rebellion is coming. So we see that revolution is something which starts happening only like 200 years ago, yeah, in the beginning of 1800s, the first French Revolution, then, you know, Russians picked up, and so on and so forth. So rebellion against the monarchy, rebellion against the system which was ruling this earth for, you know, since time immemorial, basically. And this sets up the system of personal rebellion against authorities, and personal rebellion against God. Whereas, of course, every individual start facing troubles in his rebellion. We think we will get something better, but in fact, especially as our age is progressing and we are becoming parents, we see it's actually very, very pitiful condition when our children do not listen to us, when they do what they want, and we are not able to set any example. We are not able to be a natural authority for them. And then, you know, of course, we see that more and more parents are thrown into their old people houses, and this personal relationship, personal respect and love is not there anymore. Actually, the egoistic, egocentric culture of this age is getting predominated. So by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we are able to basically contact this culture at the root. So try to solve this problem at the root, because it's not that we try to make a social reform on the atheistic platform. It's virtually impossible. So we have to bring the whole thing down, as Prithu Maharaj does, to the root of the tree. Yeah, we need to figure out the principle of authority is always there. So that's what Prithu Maharaj is saying, that behind everything is Krishna. Krishna is the supreme authority. Krishna says, Bhaktaram Yagya Tapasam also. Yeah? Basically the same principle. Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, Suhridam Sarva Bhutnam, Gyatva Mam Shantim Richatim. This is the peace formula. The formula how we can become peaceful, how we can stop worrying about our life and arrangement which we need to make. Because there are so many arrangements need to be made, especially if we start acting independently. Can imagine a small child, which is whatever, 2 weeks old, he says, you know, I don't accept the authority of my mother, and I don't want to get anything from my mother, and I will go, I work, and I figure out, you know, where to get my food, because I'm very much, you know, confident of my strengths. That would be highly ridiculous, but basically, on another level, we're doing the same, especially in regard to God. So, therefore, Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada often emphasized, 24 hours, we need to be Krishna conscious. If we are not 24 hours Krishna conscious, that any amount of time when we are not Krishna conscious means we are acting on a false plan. We are not acting in reality. We are acting in illusion, which is something we cannot help but do, unless our consciousness is purified. But then comes a question of setting the priorities. You know, what doesn't matter in which ashram we are, doesn't matter in which situation we are, what is our priority? Our priority to aim at 24 hours remembering Krishna and rendering service to him. Because he is the one, you know, as Sharanagati, path of Sharanagati teaches us, Krishna is the only maintainer and Krishna is the only protector. This is truth. And to do separate arrangements is a huge waste of time, basically. Those who are kshatriyas, their duty is to protect, but they do this in accordance with Krishna's way. They do it as a service. So basically, either we serve Krishna or we serve the living entities who are part and parcel of Krishna, and therefore we serve in Krishna. So this would be a connection of any of our activities. Of course, serving the devotees would be the topmost of this. But those who have to deal with people outside, there's nothing else but service. If we see it in this way, if we see this is a person who is basically my brother or sister, or, you know, let's say sister on the highest tattva platform, then we would have a different approach, different attitude. Whereas we see it's easy to be attached to the members of the family. Material nature give us this kind of power of attachment. Yeah, my son, my daughter, my kin is very dear to me. Normally, I mean, nowadays, this usually also not the case in many instances, but traditionally, it's much easier, if at all, to have affection and attachment to anybody than it would be the members of one's family. On the transcendental platform, what is the difference there between the member of our family and any other living being? The difference is the amount of affection which we are getting from a person. So basically, members of our family give us some affection to which we can reciprocate. So there's some bonds. When it is not there, the nature of mother is such that even child is not really reciprocating. By the arrangement of material nature, this attachment is still there. Otherwise, it will be very difficult to at all have any progress of civilization. If you scream too much, you know, put you somewhere in the garden, you know, maybe somebody will pick you up. This is also happening, but not in a massive, not in a massive scale. So to understand that everybody is connected to Krishna, everybody is our kin, ultimately. And we have to act, if we want to please Krishna, we have to act in such a way that we please all the living entity, but not on the base of their whims or our whims, how it should be, but how Krishna wants it, how our Guru wants, how Guru Parampara wants. And this is seeing the spiritual nature of the soul and trying to give on the material and spiritual platform something which brings them closer to Krishna. That would be the consideration. All other considerations are irrelevant, basically. All other considerations, even if we do something good, there are so many people who have very nice heart, really, by their karma or by their previous pious activities, they are very kind, very compassionate, so many good qualities. But they all stand out like zeros if one of Krishna is not added in front, because it is very disconnected from the truth. And if they become devotees, they become far out devotees, very advanced devotees with amazing qualities. But even somebody who has all the worth qualities and become devotee is better than such a pious and benevolent person. Because ultimately, devotee at least can try to save oneself and maybe those who are in contact with him. And these people not able even to save themselves, what to say of all the people to whom they doing good. So devotees should aspire to do good for others, but really to understand what is the ultimate good. and how to connect it at every step with Krishna. Not that I'm engaged in preaching, I engage in book distribution, I'm looking of name, fame, I'm looking of how much money I'm collecting. There are so many distractions. The motivation is always getting mixed because of our conditioning. It's also not our fault, so to say. I mean, it's our fault life after life. It's accumulated. It's very difficult. The karma is so heavy. The material nature is so heavy. Very difficult to overcome. So those who have very bad character, we cannot even blame them for this. We should have compassion. Another question, we cannot really associate with them if such people criticize Vaishnavas or they criticize other devotees. We should keep respectable distance, but we cannot, you know, boo this person. We cannot say, because we can be the next one. Because Krishna is very tricky. As soon as we're trying to become so righteous and fight for the righteousness also in our movement and try to say this person, you know, he's married 5 times and this is fall down, you know, and so many sins. I mean, in our society is a variety of wonderful sins going on, which is spoken on the bench of Grihastha area, I think, every day. So many news is there also in Mayapur broadcast. So many sins. There's never a scarcity or dearth of wonderful facts which our material mind is very fascinated with. But to resist this tendency to criticize, to resist this tendency to find fault, and really try to see the situation from Krishna's point of view, how Krishna looked at this devotee. Not that we close our heart, and we close our... If we cannot do anything else, at least we close our heart, but we stop criticizing. You know, we cannot deal with the situation. We say, okay, it's too much for me. You know, my mind immediately tries to find fault. Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he found a very simple solution. He didn't want to hear anything. Also, he was such an advanced personality, but he figured out, or he wanted to show us example, that better I don't hear criticism of Vaishnavas, then even my mind will not any loophole to get and criticize them, because mind is very tricky. Envy says, nature of envy is such that we always want to elevate ourselves. And of course, the best way to elevate ourselves to see that somebody is sinking down, going down. Then we are naturally kind of, you know, we're on the top of the world if everybody is, you know, drowning. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur therefore describes this mentality in his Bhajan Amara Jivan very wonderfully. He said, I am very joyful when other faith misery, and I am very miserable other people are joyful. It's crazy, really. I mean, if we try to understand it philosophically, it makes no sense whatsoever. You know, why? Why? But this is the nature of envy, and this is our original sin which we have to fight, and it's stronger than we are. It's material conditioning. And the only one who can help us out is Krishna. We, therefore, the path of devotion is Anukulasya Sankalpa Pratikulasya Vajanam. So we have to try to, as Bhaktivedanta Maharaj now discusses often in his classes, retraction. We have to try to separate ourselves from the causes of further entanglement consciously. But this is difficult to live in restricted state. So therefore we quickly need to get taste to feel the emptiness of our heart. Rather it will be empty that it has dirt inside, but as we try to remove the dirt and we stop supply of this material nectar, so to say, we have to quickly supply some spiritual nectar. The taste is required. Our consciousness and our mind need to be attracted to Krishna in order to positively engage all our faculties. Harinam Sankirtan is a yagya for this age, chanting of the holy name. And this is, of course, the topmost engagement of Navavida Bhakti, Shravanam Kirtanam, which we can practice. And the more we can do it, the better for us. The more we fill our mind with Krishna. And the less our mind is bound to make separate endeavors, because we, you know, those especially who in a grihastha ashram and have to actively gain money and see how, you know, that the bills are paid and this and that. There are so many sins which we have to face. And however, if our consciousness is saturated with Krishna as much as we can, you know, stuff it with Krishna from the morning till the, you know, till we cannot anymore, till the time is really to run to work or something, then there's a good chance that we can connect all our activities with Krishna. We can see how any indirect activity is connected to Krishna. But if we only engage in indirect activities, then where's the chance that we will be able to remember how to connect it with Krishna? There are so many distractions. Therefore, the direct activity of Krishna consciousness, especially here in Enchanting, should be our topmost priority. Now Kartik months come in, everybody try to chant extra rounds, and it is wonderful opportunity to absorb our mind. Not that we are doing some counting game and say, okay, I'm chanting 32 rounds, therefore I am great. You know, but how I chant them, only Krishna knows, you know, and myself, you know, what I'm thinking about. So basically we should start our every round, every mantra to pray to Krishna, please let me just be with you, at least during this time. Let us not make the direct devotional service to something indirect, which our mouth is somewhere, but our mind is somewhere else. This is very unconscious devotional service. So to increase our conscious devotional service, we have to make a very, very conscious endeavor. Understanding that, of course, everything in Krishna's hands. Krishna will give us all the mercy. We cannot achieve, especially with our birth, our karma, everything. We are very, you know, at least myself, very unqualified to be able to chant constantly. But if we have a desire to do it, if we have a desire to increase our chanting, increase our remembrance, and pray to Krishna for this, and Krishna creates facilities. If we keep association with devotees who have the similar aspiration, not the aspirations to, you know, of economic development and sense gratification, which also we have, you know, we have all opportunities in our society and get any club of interest, even within devotee society. So we have to find within devotees the club of interest of devotees who really want to become Krishna conscious. And this is their first and primary goal. Prema Bhakti is their goal on which they remember as much as they can, at least every day. At least every day it is reminded. Therefore, Shravanam is important. We hear and we're reminded. And we have to do it every day. Nityam Bhagavata Seva. We have to do it every day, unless we come on the platform on Nishtha, then we will want to do it every day, because in Bhagavatam, in all Shravanam is taste. This is Purana which is relished by the liberated souls. It's Rasika Purana. It's something there which on conditional level we cannot even see. But the liberated souls, they see something which, you know, they don't need to learn philosophy, they don't need to figure out how to restrain their senses. But when they read this all, it gives so much rasa, so much taste. Therefore, philosophy, discussing philosophy, hearing philosophy, is also bhajan. So as much as we can, direct Krishna Katha, if we cannot, if our mind is flips out, then we do some, you know, I mean, direct Krishna bhajans, then we do some Krishna Kathas, then we do some service for Krishna. And everything is regulated according to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. But of course, we should see where we are standing. Are we also, according to our conditioned nature, if we are Brahminical or we are Shudra? There's nothing bad about it, you know. It's nobody's Shudra, you know, because devotees feel very, how to say, insecure. Yeah. If I'm Shudra, why am I insecure? Nobody's Shudra. Devotee is never Shudra. Devotee is never Brahmana even, you know. Devotee is always devotee. It is even offense to consider devotee according to one's varna and ashrama. So, but for ourselves, we don't need to, you know, go and say, Prabhu, can you tell me, you know, who I am? We will see as our minds purified in our gurusis and our sarathisis how to engage ourselves if we need to do more work for Krishna, which is glorious. It's not a sugar activity. It's pure devotional service. You know what Manjari is doing? They don't discuss philosophy. They, you know, string garlands and do all, you know, shudra work, so to say. You know, so it's most glorious. It's not. Therefore, this concept of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra towards the devotee is a little bit, yeah, misguided, you know, for our conditioned nature. Therefore, whatever we do for Krishna, if we do it connected to Krishna, is the topmost thing. Then we try to engage ourselves according to our nature, and at the same time engage ourselves in direct devotional service as much as we can. Therefore, you know, try to come with devotees, chant the holy name whenever we can, whenever we feel inspired, and do it more and more. Lord Chaitanya said that he would visit, only visit the house of Lakpati. Yeah? So those who have one lakh of what? You know, devotees said, well, we don't have lakh, you know. Mahaprabhu, we are very poor. He said, those who chant 100,000 names of Krishna, means 64 rounds. For us, it seems sometimes impractical or impossible, but the aspiration should be there to increase as much as we can. And ultimately, if we do our bhajan, our sadhana properly, trying to depend on Krishna, then taste will be there, one will not want to stop. One devotee was telling me that he was, you know, by Krishna's mercy, got a taste. You know, and he starts chanting. He sits in the morning, he chants. He needs to go to work. Of course, not the example to follow, but nevertheless, you know, just to have something. So he chants and chants and chants. It's time to go to work, and he doesn't want to stop. So he thinks, why, you know, I worry about this work if I'm now here with Krishna? So he chants more, and he's not going to work. And sometimes he's going to work, sometimes he's not going to work. And he waits when they fire him. But everybody is so happy with him on his work. And they don't fire him. And nobody tells anything. So this is the working of spiritual energy. Again, this is not to be imitated. Maybe once we get such a taste, then something like this also happened to us. But not because of laziness, we will not go to work. And most probably we will be fired on the first day. And then he said, it continued like this for 6 years. He would go sometimes, he would go to work, sometimes he would not go to work. And ultimately his guru accepted that he can take vanaprast, you know. So his guru said, okay, now you can take one, you are ready. So he went to work and he actually cancelled his work himself. He said, okay, now I'm... And they, why? You know, they ask him, why? What's going on? He said, no, it's okay, you know. So Krishna can do wonderful things, and such stories is actually to strengthen our faith. And then we see where we are, and we act according to our level of faith, in our level of taste. But Krishna can extend it unlimitedly for us, because there's nobody else in control but Krishna. There's nothing more dear to Krishna than when we serve him, and especially nothing more dear when we serve his devotees. So if we try to serve Krishna, and in our zealous service we harm the devotees, or neglect the devotees, or blaspheme the devotees because they are standing on a way of my glorious service to Guru and Krishna, then we are defeating the purpose of the service. For Krishna, it's not that we build a huge temple is important, or we distribute millions of books, and Krishna can do it. For Krishna, it's not a problem. For him, our personal change of our heart is topmost important. So if we're doing things in a service attitude, in really trying to please Krishna, Krishna is pleased. If we're trying to do it out of false ego, Krishna will give us a lot of clubs on our head, because the result will not become. Our results is never glorious, because all our results is Krishna's results. If we understand this, we can achieve unlimited results. Therefore Prabhupada said, impossible is the word in the Fool's Dictionary, because for Krishna there is nothing impossible. Everything can be done. Doesn't matter how limited our capacity is, Krishna's capacity is unlimited. Therefore, we can achieve, even with if we are tiny and insignificant, we can achieve unlimited results in this world if we are able to do it in a humble service attitude towards Krishna. And if we are so much materially advanced and so had such a big expertise, but we want name, fame, we want recognition for this, that surely we will get this. But we will get very less of Krishna Bhakti. That's even Bible says. I want to, you know, be controversial and quote other scriptures. But it is the, even Bible notice this thing. It says if you do some good and try to get name and fame out of it, surely you will get only this. But no love of God will come out of it. So, you know, we should always keep it in mind. Okay, thank you very much for your kind attention and tolerance. If there are some comments, you're very much welcome. Yes, John Ashton.
Very nice class. There's a sentence on page 88, the Shankarite philosopher's theory that we have to imagine a shape of God is more dangerous than the denial of the existence of God. I'm not very clear on this theory about imagining the shape of God. I'm wondering if maybe you can shed some light on that.
I mean, with your blessings, I can only say how I understand this. I don't know if it will be more light or darkness. The simple ignorance, I mean, the more person ignorant, the less, and not preaching, you know, person not preaching and he's ignorant, he's not as dangerous as person who found a very good base for his ignorance and preaches it. What to say if we find Vedas as a base for our ignorance, and on the base of the Vedas we are misleading the people. So this is the most dangerous. Therefore, Ishapanishad said that such kind of knowledge is the road to hell. Why? Because if we are misguided and bewildered, I mean, this is basically in context of then Lord Chaitanya said that Mayavadis are more dangerous than Buddhists. So then he says that imagining form of God is more dangerous. So I just bring it back to statement of Lord Chaitanya first, that, and I think this is imagining would be in this light, that if they say that Krishna is something which he is not, and on the base of Shastra build up their faith in people, and then very difficult for people to accept different point of view, because it's really, you know, as we preach, we also see that those who know Vedas, so to say, of very strong Mayavadis, they are the ones who are practically impossible to convince in Krishna consciousness. Whereas the people just ignorant and have no knowledge, then for them, this superior knowledge fascinating, and they follow the logic of the knowledge, then arrive to the theistic conclusion. Whereas those who followed the same knowledge, but very, very, let's say, systematically misguided on every step, for them to accept another path would be very difficult, because you have to break so many paradigmas which build there. Plus, there's very offensive mentality, except they know who Krishna is. But they say that, you know, normal person or even Buddhist, they don't say that there's Krishna, they say there's nothingness, which is basically not good. But Mayavadis would say, let's say, maybe this is imaginary. Krishna is Krishna, okay, but his body is consists of Maya, you know, his Mayic representation of Brahman. So this would be more dangerous, and it will be very offensive mentality. So like this, I would imagine something like this. Yes, ma'am.
In the Adi Lila Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada, when explaining Shankaracharya's philosophy, he says the way in which they imagine the form of God is through the system of Panchopasana.
Right.
If memory serves correctly, it's Vishnu, Shiva, Surya, Ganesh, and Devi, or Durga. Right. So they think Brahman is truth and reality, and everything else is false or ignorance or illusion. So even though they worship these forms, they're just manifestations of the ignorance. So any bhakti or service or attachment you have for them is simply an aspect of ignorance and illusion that somehow or other helps you come to the point of realizing that you're Brahman, that's, you know, that's all there is.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Kija, Srila Prabhupada Kija, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Kija, Nitagora Premanandaya.